once again a pleasure to be able to stand before you and to bring a lesson from God's Word. And I would ask that you follow along in the Scriptures with me. Make sure that the things that I say come from the Scriptures and the applications that I make are also scripturally based. Our whole theme this year has to be imitators of Christ. And there are so many different things that we can think about our Lord doing when he was on this earth to give us as an example to follow. Tonight, it's as kind of a companion lesson to what we talked about this morning as, well, all good people go to heaven. I want to talk about tonight about doing good. We see in our world so much evil about us. We see so many people that all they're concerned about is what they can get out of something, and they don't care how many people they hurt. And yet we know as Christians that the Bible says a lot about what we need to be doing. And if we're going to imitate our Lord and be the type of people that he would want us to be, we're going to be doing good. We're not just going to be good people, but we're going to be doing good for others. And so tonight, I've got 18 verses, or I should say 18 passages. There's more verses than that included. But what I want to do is kind of let the Bible do its own talking, because the Bible's the best way to preach a lesson is just let the Bible do the talking. God's word is the power. It's not in man. And so I want us to examine God's word and look at the many times. I mean, this is just scratching the surface tonight about what it means to be doing good. And think about, as we look at this lesson, how much impact can we have on the world if we're doing this? We want to be impactful on the world, not for our own glory, but for the glory of God. And one of the ways that we do that is to do good. So if you would turn your Bibles to Psalm the 37th chapter and verse 3. And this is one of the Psalms of David. David wrote so many of the beautiful Psalms that we have in our Bible. And in verse 3 of Psalms 37, he says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness." So he says, trust in the Lord, and a real simple statement, and do good. You know, so much of the time, it's not hard to know what to do. It's a matter of just doing it, isn't it? You know, Nike, before they became all weird with all this woke stuff, they had a theme that said, just do it. That's not a bad thing. When you think about it as a Christian, trust in the Lord and do good. Look at those opportunities that are presented to us on a daily basis. But you know, let's go to Matthew the 5th chapter. Because Jesus had something to say about the idea of doing good and what impact it can have on those around us. In Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." Now we understand that very simple concept. Those of you that like salt, I don't usually salt my food, but my wife does without even tasting it. So, and many of you might too, and that's fine. But salt is not only a preservative, but also it helps with the taste of food. Well, what do you know if you've maybe let some salt and maybe it been open and it was exposed to moisture? What happens to it? Is it any good anymore? It loses its flavor, right? So what do you have to do? Toss it in the trash. Now look how he's going to compare that. He says, "You are the salt of the world." So if we're the salt of the world, what are we going to be doing? We're going to be impacting people, not food. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. If we're about doing good works, what's it going to do? Who's it going to draw the attention of? It's going to draw people's attention to God if we're doing what we should be doing. They're going to say, why are you doing this? You know, so many people look at good works today as, well, what's in it for me if I do this? And yet a child of God just does it because it's the right thing to do. We are the salt. We are the light. If we're obeying God the way we should. And once again, the light is to be shined on God, not us. But then again, let's go to Ephesians, the second chapter. Ephesians, second chapter, verses 4 through 10. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not for yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Now notice verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. When we fear God and keep his commandments, as the writer of Ecclesiastes said, we're doing just that. We're going to be about doing those good things. Men are going to see it. And they're going to notice it. Not to be, once again, calling attention to ourselves, but calling attention to God. James, the second chapter, verses 14 through 17. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone has faith, says he has faith, and but does not have works? Can faith save him? Now, we see a lot of people in the religious world today, sadly, that believe that faith only is okay, and that's going to get them to heaven. Well, James is clearly showing what we have to do besides belief. And he uses the analogy, really clear analogy. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, does not have works, is dead. On the street, in the middle of the winter, he has barely clothes to cover his skin, let alone to keep him warm, and you go up to him and say, be ye warmed and filled, and walk on. Well, that's obviously not going to do him any good, is it? But if you have a coat that you could give them, or could go find a way to buy them a meal or something, you could help that individual, right? There are so many things that we can do. And remember what our Lord said, a cup of cold water will not be forgotten. Just even the simplest thing of giving a cup of cold water to someone who's thirsty, it's not going to be forgotten by our God. But there... Again, let's go to James, the fourth chapter, and verse 17. James 4:17 says, therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. So it shows how serious this matter is of doing good. If we know that we need to do good in some case and we don't do it, what is it? It's sin. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? Colossians Colossians 3, verses 23 and 24. Paul writing to the church at Colossae says, "And whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ." Once again, a child of God just does the right thing because it's the right thing to do, and does good because it's the right thing to do. We don't worry whether we'll ever receive anything back. You know, once again, the world is so focused of what's in it for me. Be a child of God understands that the joy is in the serving others like we're supposed to, like our Lord did, right? He served others. And that's what he was doing. But let's turn to Galatians, back to the, what did I do? Oh, there we go. Second. Got to the second six. Steve, I apologize. So Galatians 6, verses 9 and 10. Let's read verses 9 and 10 again. As Brother Albert read verse 9 earlier, let's read verse 10 along with that. Paul writing to the churches of Galatia says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." And that one really hits home, because what does that word "all" mean? That mean those ones that we just individually choose here, there, and everywhere? Or does it mean when we have the opportunity, we do it? Even to our enemies. As we discussed last week, the loving of enemies and how we have to be concerned about their souls. And sometimes a good deed can even get our enemies to thinking to where they might want to think about something spiritually. I don't know if you've ever had an enemy that has just tried to do everything they can to hurt you, and you show kindness or concern for their well-being, and they look at you with a puzzled look, do they not? They're like, "Why would you do that?" And that opens up an opportunity to talk about the gospel to even someone who tries to hurt us. But also in Luke, the 12th chapter, verses 33 and 34, Jesus talking about the attitude that we should have. Now, we know in the first century, especially after our Lord left the earth, there was going to be a great need for this thing. And he says, "Sell what you have and give alms. Provide money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Now, we know the parable of the rich young ruler and the one that asked what he needed to do, and he said he had been loyal to the old law, he'd done everything, and Jesus saw that he lacked one thing. He says, "Okay, go sell all you have and give to the poor and come follow me." And we know, sadly, he went away sorrowful, for he was rich. But we saw in the first century what so many people did when there was a need, especially in the church in Jerusalem. We're saying in our book, in the book of Acts, in Paul's missionary journeys, what was he doing? He was collecting money for the saints to take back to Jerusalem because of the great need there, because of the persecution. And it's just another reminder of some of the things that we might be able to do at some point. We may have the ability to do that, we may not, but once again, it's not in the amount, it's in the doing. So much of the time we get caught up in what man's definition of things are and forget how simple God's definitions are, as we saw this morning. Second Thessalonians, the 3rd chapter in verse 13 says, "But as for you, do not grow weary in doing good." When you think about our Lord and the service he gave while he was on this earth in that short span of time in his ministry, there were so many times where the Bible says that our Lord was tired, our Lord was weak, because he was so busy helping others. And 2 Thessalonians says, don't grow weary in doing good. It's going to pay off so much more than we can ever imagine, because we're glorifying our Father when we do it. We're glorifying our Savior when we do it. And even if the person that we're doing the good for never shows any appreciation, that's not the point. It's just like when we think about our responsibility to sow the seed. Is our responsibility whether they believe or not? No, our responsibility is to sow the seed. Our responsibility is to do the good works. Hebrews the 13th chapter, verses 15 and 16. If you would turn there. The Hebrew writer says, therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifice God is well pleased. So not only do we do it through our mouth, but we also do it through our actions. And that's what the whole book of James is talking about in the second chapter, when he's talking about faith and works. It's not enough to just talk about something, but we have to be doing. And sadly, so many people look at Christianity as just something you kind of join and then there's nothing to do. But it's a big social club. And yet we understand that a child of God is to be out there doing good when we can, and looking for those wonderful opportunities. Colossians 3:17, we normally talk about Colossians 3:16, but we also need to remember Colossians 3:17. It says, but whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Well, when we think about this topic of doing good, we do it by his authority. He tells us to do that. But also, Titus, the third chapter in verse 14, I think is an interesting passage. If you would turn with me there. Titus 3, verse 14. Paul writing to Titus says, and let our people also, notice this next word, learn to maintain good works, to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. So, do we inherently have something in us that we want to do good for others? Well, yes. I'll admit that. But it's also a learned behavior. That we learn to maintain those good works, to keep doing them as we have opportunity. But the main thing is, are we doing them? Just do what we can. Hebrews the 10th chapter in verse 24 is one of the verses that is a lot of times omitted when we talk about the idea of assembling ourselves together. And it's sad because verse 24 gives us the reason why it's so important. Because it says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. And when we're considering one another in order to stir up love and good works, we're going to be assembled together with each other so that we can encourage one another to do those love and good works. That's why it's so important that we help each other. It's hard enough to live in this world on a daily basis outside when we're not amongst our brethren. Let alone when those opportunities we have to be with our brethren, we're not here. We need each other. I need you, you need me, not because I'm anything great, but because we're children of God and we're trying to get to heaven. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, in verse 15. But always pursue good, what is good both for yourselves and for all. Once again, not thinking just about what's good for myself and thinking, okay, I'm concerned about what I want and I really don't care about it. No, we want to consider what's good for everyone. Because we need to help each other. 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, in verse 17. For if it is better, if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good, you know, sometimes we're going to suffer for doing good. That's kind of a hard thing to think about, isn't it? You're trying, I don't know about you, but say you're trying to help someone out, like just say in your job, trying to help them out, and then what do? They treat you mean, they act like you're being, you know, disrespectful to them. It's like, hey, I was just trying to help you. There's going to be times when we're doing good things and we're going to not feel the same way as we would at other times. There's going to be times when we go the extra mile to try and help someone and maybe they don't appreciate it. Or we're going to suffer persecution because we're trying to do God's will. But you know what? It's still better. It's better than what anything this world has to offer. And we can be confident in knowing that if we're doing the good, imitating our Lord, the concern for man's souls, as our Lord had, that we're going to be better. Galatians 5:13 is one of the important verses in the New Testament. It says, but through love, serve one another. Our Lord served us. He served those in His day as He was on the earth. And we have to be serving one another. Once again, God's not going to ask you to do something that you can't do, but He expects you to do what you can do. That's why the one talent man was rebuked and condemned by his master. It wasn't the fact that he didn't have five talents. It wasn't the fact that he didn't have two talents. It was the fact that he took the one talent and did nothing. Each of us have different abilities. Each of us have different talents. Whatever those are, use them in God's kingdom and do good. I hope he won't mind. I'm going to mention it anyway. He'll have to forgive me. But Brian did Mom's funeral. And he couldn't have done a better job. Not because of the things he said about Mom, but because of the things he brought out from God's Word. That was a gift. Because each of us have gifts given to us from God. Whether it's your empathy, you know, some people are really, really good listeners. Does it take a lot of talent to be a good listener? It just takes caring, doesn't it? A kind word said at the right time can change a person's whole outlook on life. Have you ever been in that situation where you've been hurting, where you think everything's going wrong, and someone has the love for you that they say it's going to be okay? I have that here. And I thank God for it. Matthew, the 20th chapter, and verse 28 says, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And that's what He did. He served man because He loves us. Greater love has no one than this, than a man to lay down his life for his friends. Jesus laid down His life for everyone, not just His friends. And then finally, we know that we are the Lord's friends if we do what He has commanded us to do. And once again, the idea of serving one another through love, doing good, is one way that we do that. how the world can be changed in a short period of time. If instead of looking how we can get back at people or looking how we can get something for ourselves, we are about doing good for each other. And I'm not talking about here because I've got that here. I've got people looking out for me. But I'm talking about out in the world with those we come in contact with, to show people the joy of being a child of God, doing good to them, letting them know that our Lord died for them the same as he did for you and me. And when we do that, we glorify our Father. We're imitating our Savior. And what better thing could be said about us at the end of our lives than they served the Lord, they loved their fellow man, and they did good. We can bring glory to God. We can help each other. We can do so many things and accomplish so many things above what we ever thought we could if we just trust God that he'll help us to do it. I know some passages I may have given some commentary, and I apologize because the Bible is the best commentary. But I hope that it's just gotten us thinking about things that we can do on a daily basis to make not only this world a better place, but hopefully help somebody to be led to our Lord. It is a wonderful privilege to be a child of God. We have to take advantage of it and show the wonderfulness to others. Let's continue to be about doing good. And I know we can, and I know we will. Because you wouldn't be here if you didn't care. You wouldn't be here if you didn't want to serve the Lord. There's so many other things that you could be doing right now, but you chose to be here. Thank God that he loves us this much, that he sent his Savior to be a sacrifice for our sins. And at this time, what we want to do is offer the invitation of our Lord. It's not my invitation, but it's the invitation of our Lord to come to him. He wants all to be saved. He did all the good he could for us in becoming that sacrifice. But you know what? When we become a child of God, he will do even more good for us, because he's promised he'll be there to help us through this life. We don't have to do it alone. We have an advocate that we can pray to our Father through, Jesus, a mediator. But we have to do it according to his plan. If you've never obeyed the gospel, we want to give you that opportunity now. If you have, and maybe there's just something that you need to pray, have us pray with you about, or maybe there's a need to confess sin that's been of a public nature, the Lord is willing to listen. He's willing to forgive you. We're here to help you. Please, if you're subject to the Lord's invitation, come as we stand and we sing.